Hi, and welcome to the Flipside Podcast. My name is Andrew. I'm your host and producer. I'm here joined, as always, by Phil Auchter, pastor at Crestview. And we are actually taking our show on the road today as we got a setup that allows us to go portable. And we are here at one of our members' houses to interview them and to just engage with people outside of Phil and myself. So, Phil, how are you doing today?
Yeah, good. Good. It's good to be with you and good to be back in the podcast world and anticipating 2023 as we jump into this.
That's right. And we're joined by a special guest, which I guess I'll let you introduce.
Our special guest today is Bob Guthrie, who many of you in church life know. Bob was a longtime elder and deacon at Crestview. And I don't know, what else do I need to say by way of introduction, Bob?
Not a lot to say. Right. Just been around a long time.
Yeah. You think you probably entered Crestview's life, was it the early 80s?
Mid-80s.
Mid-80s.
I think probably the very end of 84 and from that point on.
Yep. And so served, you know, in a lot of different capacities over the years. Were you in leadership pretty quickly once arriving at Crestview, or was it the late 80s then, a few years?
Well, I got into leadership probably a little too quickly.
Yeah,
but,
okay.
I was there. I was in leadership probably within a couple of years.
Yeah, sure. So what we're trying to do today in this episode, as we look forward to a new year, we're recording this actually in November, and we're thinking about the Jesus Project and the importance of what we just preached last week was that John 15 passage where we're abiding in Jesus, and as we abide in him and his words abide in us. So we know instinctively that a good chunk of discipleship has to do with the intake of God's word. And when I think about that, I think about Bob's lifelong devotion in the word and trying to have a consistent daily time in the word. And so I wanted to interview him to talk about these rhythms and how they developed in his life. And so that's kind of the background as to why we chose Bob. Having the privilege to be with him on leadership team for a while, I was able to get to know him and know this rhythm was an important part. So we have some questions scripted to go over. So Bob, let's just jump into it. What's the background after you became a believer for how you established a daily rhythm of time in God's word?
Well, I had, recently come back from the military, and, my cousin was instrumental in getting me reconciled. I was a believer,
yeah,
but I was out of fellowship with God. And anyway, I was very fortunate. Got involved in a Bible study, and almost right off the bat, I was discipled by an attorney there in Wichita. Uh-huh. And he was involved with the local community navigator team.
Sure.
And so I was very fortunate in that I was around a group of men who led by example. And one of the foundational things was this time with God every day in the word and prayer.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know, because I know part of your backstory, I can fill in the blanks, but for people who maybe don't know that, did it begin with them wanting you to know your testimony and share that? And then came the time in the word, or did all that kind of come together? How did it work where it translated to actually, okay, I think I'm going to do something in the word every day.
Okay. Well, yeah, there, I was helped, by these guys that, you know, they were having a quiet time, and right off the bat, they, you know, there were certain spiritual disciplines that, sure, they said it's going to be so important for you and foundational to your walk with God. And so these are the things you need to do.
Yeah.
And right at the top of the list was that having a quiet time and, yeah, in the word. And so I was fortunate and I had people showing me how to do this. I wasn't a complete novice, but you know, there, I wasn't aware of spiritual disciplines and things like this. And so, I got started pretty quick, you know, yeah, right off the bat. Now, I will say that my time, as far as my quiet time, daily devotional,
yeah,
was not consistent to begin with.
Sure.
It took me 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
And I'm a fairly disciplined, organized person.
Right.
But it just was a habit I had not developed yet, but I knew I needed to. And so I just would do it when I could.
Yeah.
And after a period of about probably 3 years, I found myself doing it more consistently. There's a lot of different things, you know, I mean, the Holy Spirit's working in you during all this time. And so your motivation for doing it changes over the years.
Yeah, sure.
You know, initially I was wanting to do it because I knew I was supposed to.
Right, yeah.
And then I realized, well, it's supposed to be a meeting of meaning, so to speak, with yeah. God. And so I started looking forward to that. But it's not until a little bit later that God was really working in my life that showed me this need I had to have of him.
Yeah.
And so that became my motivation and has been my motivation ever since. I need this time.
Yeah.
It's not a duty per se, yeah. in a sense it is, but I look forward to this time.
Right. While you were talking, there were two things that came to mind. One is it's possible that we might have a listener who doesn't know what we mean when we say quiet time. So just stepping out from that, and everything you said was great, but what would you say to them? Like, what do you mean when you say quiet time? What are you envisioning?
Okay. Yeah, that's a good question, because I had the same response when I was first exposed to that.
Yeah.
As I understand, for me, a quiet time is that beginning of the day, getting this time alone with God, where I'm able to spend time in the Word, in a sense, having a conversation with him, that the Word is his word to me, so to yes. speak. And then I pray back that word, in a sense. And so there's this conversation going. And
yeah.
I, you know, try to pray about what I read.
Yeah, right.
If I sure. have a list of people, say I'm praying for leadership that yeah. day. Something I've gotten out of my reading that morning, that's what I'm praying for the guys.
Right. Isn't there a resource that we might even still have on the book stall? Is it like Your Daily Time with God? Was that the name of it? Do you remember the name of that resource?
Well, there's a number of excellent resources out there, and I probably perused a couple of dozen at least over the years.
It was that little pamphlet. Do you remember the one?
The pamphlet that was especially helpful to me was put out by InterVarsity, just called A Quiet Time.
Okay, yeah.
And it had several different ideas, and the main thing is the same approach can be different. I mean,
yeah.
Everyone doesn't have to use the same approach to sure. this time with God.
Yeah, yeah. So transitioning, you now have that kind of established in your life after 3 years, and I was just thinking about different people in our body and the different stages of life that they're in and the different levels of involvement that they're in. So like as a father, as a businessman, as you know, a church leader, how is your time having a daily quiet time informing those different aspects of your life? Any kind of impact there that you can recall?
Well, there have been different stages. There was a time probably when this was really heavy, was in the mid 80s. I was journaling quite a bit during my quiet time. Uh-huh. I was really going through a lot of stressful things in church leadership,
yeah,
in my work,
yeah,
and family. And so I found it extremely helpful to me to write these thoughts down, yeah, and write my prayers down at that time.
Yeah.
Now, I don't do that now.
Sure.
But at that time, that was very helpful to me, yeah, to sort of, because for me anyway, if I'm under a lot of stress, I have difficulty focusing.
Sure.
Because yeah, I want to try to solve what I'm stressing out over.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But if I'm writing something down, that I'm able to focus, yeah, on that.
That's good. That's good. So, you know, transitioning, I mean, would you say like through all those different stages of life, like, well, I know from just your own testimony, that this was the consistent thing. Maybe all those aspects of life were changing and had their ups and downs, but the thing that remained constant was you trying to have time in the Word. So what did that look like at different stages? Because I know eventually you're going to end up at Spangles in the mornings.
Okay.
So some of that, like, how did you logistically go about this?
Okay. Well, starting out in Wichita, I had two small boys and everything. And so I was working at a bank at the time. So I would go downstairs in the basement in the morning, get that time alone. I had a little cubby hole, which later I made an office out of. But that's how I would do it then.
Yeah.
When we moved to Hutchinson, I did have a room downstairs in the basement, but I found that it just seemed to, I was officing in the bank building downtown.
Yeah, sure.
And at the time there were George's Cafe right across the street.
Yeah.
And so I would go to work early, go into George's, have a coffee and something, and read the scriptures.
Yeah.
And I've always been able to just tune everything out.
Right.
I can get somewhere, tune everyone out, and just focus on what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And that worked for the most part. Every once in a while I'd have people come over, but that was an opportunity to share what I was doing.
Yeah, sure.
And I did that for years and years. Then when I switched from the bank building and everything, that's when I started going to places like McDonald's, Spangles, or different places that were normally, back then, quiet of a morning.
Yeah, right, right.
Now, you got these old geezers like me that show up. You know.
Right, yeah. But, you can't get much done there now, yeah.
Anyway, it was great. I spent a year out in Arizona.
Sure.
Back in the mid-90s, and I did it out there. I remember, I don't know why, I happen to remember I was going through the scriptures, of course, then My Utmost for His Highest, all the old Chambers when I was out in Phoenix.
Yeah.
And I'd have people come up then, you know, but I just got in that rhythm of going out like that. Even when we would visit someone, I'd get up early and leave the house and go somewhere and come back because I just needed that time alone. You can't ignore other people if they want to talk to you. So if I'm in my friend's home, you know, so anyway, I've just made it a priority. It's just something I felt like I just have to do this because I need this so much.
Yeah, right. So as I look, I mean, I'm actually looking at you now sitting in your chair, and I can see over your shoulder you have scriptures, a little notebook. You have a Jerry Bridges book. You have a couple collections of Puritan prayers and Table Talk. So, I mean, how have you different resources that you've used over the years, is this a sampling of what you used, or do you use these consistently every day? Yeah.
This is how I approach it now.
Yeah.
Maybe I just have a problem paying attention, so I need all these different sources. Yeah, right. Sure. My attention span isn't what it used to be.
Yeah, right.
But I've evolved in that. I'm not saying what I'm doing now is better than I did 30 years ago, but right now, there have been times where I just use the scriptures in prayer, and absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Right.
It's essential that the scriptures are always a major part.
Right, yeah, for sure.
Right now, I happen to, I found some resources that have been particularly helpful. I've gone through a lot of different devotionals by A.W. Tozer, Tripp, MacArthur, Piper, Spurgeon.
Yeah.
You know, all these guys, you know, and everything, and they've all been very helpful. The last few years, I've sort of centered in on prayers.
Uh-huh.
Valley of Vision is a favorite of mine. Right. I continually go through that. I go through a prayer every day of Valley of Vision. The way the Puritans pray is so transparent, and they just have such a heart for God that I wish I had, and I desire that, and so I pray those prayers. Another book on prayer is Piercing Heaven. Just excellent, excellent. Right now, Bridges happens to have a three-book set. You know, I exalt you, O God, I glorify you, O God, and then I will obey you, or something to that effect. Yeah. I'm on my third one now.
Yeah.
And I from time to time, about every other 3 years, I'll go through those too.
Yeah, sure.
Just one day, you know, one reading a day. And then, of course, the scriptures. And then I have a prayer journal.
Yeah, sure.
So that it pretty much set up on a weekly deal.
Yeah.
Now, because of the nature of I got my list, some people like you get prayed for more than once a week.
Well, believe me, I need it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. You know well that I need it. Yeah.
You know, guys like Andrew and Luke, I have to pray for daily because they just really need it. Right. But,
thank you.
Anyway, yeah. It's got different categories. And there, sure, again, that's helpful to me rather than trying to go through a laundry list of a morning and try to remember everyone that needs prayer. Well, good night. You know, yeah, you'll never cover all that.
Sure.
This is just a way, for instance, when we get an email down about a special deal, it'll go in my prayer journal. Then when that finally clears up, I mark through it.
Yeah, right. That's good. Andrew, do I need to give some space to you? What's sparked your curiosity in the conversation so far? Something we need to engage as you listen in?
Just that I love the resources, but that this quiet time looks so different for each individual. Yeah. Even the world would acknowledge that taking space. I think your Apple Watch tells you, be mindful for 10 minutes now.
Right.
It gives you a reminder. So there's something built into the human heart to take space, but we want to make the most of this space. And so my question, Bob, would just be, how do we make the most of this space? It's good for us to do this, but if I have 2 minutes, if I have 20 minutes, in your life, how you've seen making the most of that space, what that might look like?
Okay. Well, I know what you're talking about, because when I was younger, I had a lot more demands on my time. Sometimes, even once I had a rhythm down, there were times I had 30 minutes for a quiet time. Sometimes I had 30 seconds because things happen, you know.
Yeah.
You get a phone call or whatever, and you say that quick prayer. You're not going to be any more acceptable to God because you spent 2 hours as opposed to 30 seconds.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But now, the way I think, I had a hard time working through that.
Yeah.
But when I was younger, I just did what I could. I still find it difficult to have a very much of a quiet time when I'm on the road. And after all these years, now I can do it, but it's not like sitting here in my home, everything. And you're going to have different seasons of life. That's fine. That's the way God has, you know, planned it. And He knows our heart. See, that's the exciting thing. God knows our heart. And that was no surprise that you got interrupted that morning. And you only had 10 minutes or 2 minutes to say your prayer and get out the door. The main thing is you're focusing your day. You're getting started the right way. When I was in the military, every morning we had a staff meeting. Battalion commander told us battery commanders, this is how the day is going to look. Yes, sir.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
And so,
good answer.
In a sense, I'm getting my marching orders from the Lord. But it's deeper than that, because there's that relationship. And that's the thing. You know, we can have quote-unquote quiet times. We can have all these spiritual disciplines. But if you don't have that heart for God, that relationship, that, you know, just hard to describe, it's all bluff, really. And so God knows your heart. As long as you're seeking after God, that's the main thing.
Yeah, I know we're running close to time, so let's maybe just some quick encouragements for people in different stages of life. So what would you encourage people, maybe if someone doesn't have a regular rhythm, they've heard your story today and they're thinking, man, I need to try something. What would be your just quick, pithy encouragement? I'm looking for about 15 to 30 second answers here. So what's your quick encouragement to someone who just wants to start this, maybe it's a new practice in their life?
I personally would start off with a book like Colossians, something like that, something short. Focus on you know, your Bible has headings for different paragraphs, so to speak.
Yeah.
Don't read the whole chapter. Just read that paragraph.
Yeah.
And focus on that and say, this is what I do today. Yeah. This is what I think about. Yeah. Whether it's a promise, a command, or what? A warning? Yeah. And pray about that.
Yeah.
Pray for yourself, for your family. Pray for that thing, because that makes it very personal then.
Yeah. What's the quick encouragement for someone who maybe doesn't struggle with this being a rhythm of their life, but they do this consistently in their life? What's your encouragement for that person? We obviously want to tell them, don't grow weary in doing good, but what more would you say, just in terms of, you know, you're able to give them a quick 15-second spiritual counsel? What's your encouragement to them?
Mix it up. Talk to other people, other believers. How I got on Valley of the Vision, I was at a shepherd's conference. Yeah. MacArthur mentioned this little book that was so meaningful to him. I went, well, I'll check it out. Good night. It changed, you know, changed everything.
Yeah, variety. It's so
mix
helpful.
It up.
Yeah, yeah. Good. And then what about maybe the quick encouragement? Maybe there's parents who are trying to help children establish these rhythms, or parents who are helping their teenagers or students establish these rhythms. Obviously they have the counsel for starting this out new. What encouragement would you give people who are trying to build this into the life of others?
Lead by example. Yeah. Show them. I also am not so naive as to understand that sometimes with parents and children, there's issues.
Yeah.
And so it may be coming along, you know, just speaking to the student sponsor at church and saying, yeah, I'd really appreciate if you'd take a little time with my son or my daughter and maybe just go through the basics of quiet time. If they look at you with glazed eyes, then maybe they need to have counsel also. But well, anyway.
That's been really helpful for me. You know, I've done that where, you know, my kids always can, you know, they can hear stuff from me, but it's really helpful when they can connect with other people in the body and draw on their wisdom. So that's really good. And just final word, you know, Bob mentioned that, you know, this doesn't make us any more acceptable to God, but it is a practice that we want to step into, because we do, abiding in Jesus, knowing that apart from him, we can do nothing, means that we're going to be loving his words. We're going to want to be near him. And so it's that relational aspect that we want to have in our lives as a regular rhythm. So while it doesn't earn us heaven or justification, it does encourage our hearts spiritually, and the relational elements are there. So yeah, don't forget the good news that Jesus has already won heaven for you, mm-hmm. and he's, you know, captured your heart, and you can live for him. And he doesn't need a quiet time to save you. He's done the work, and it's enough. So I don't know. Any other final words you guys have? Andrew, anything?
No, I think that's good.
Yep.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, no, we're glad to have you. So yeah, appreciate all your time today listening. I hope this has been an encouragement to you. And again, this is the Flipside Podcast. We're kind of digging into the underbelly of Crestview. And today we've been with Bob Guthrie, leader and person involved in our church in deep ways, member. So I hope it's been encouraging to you.
Yeah. And if you want to find our podcast, we are on the church website, as well as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. So if you want to subscribe, you'll see when these drop, since it's not always weekly. It's sometimes infrequent. Yeah. But we so appreciate you spending time with us today, and hope to catch you next time on the flip side.